Welcome, welcome everyone to the So You Think You Can Dance wrap-up. My name is Lita Brillman. I am your host and I am joined, as always, by the lovely Kelly Bedard. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Lita?
I'm good. I am coming to you live from New York City.
Woo!
Yes.
Cool.
So this is a lively night for me. I woke up at 6 a.m. today to take a bus from D.C. to New York. And now I'm here in Brooklyn staying with my best friend.
What are you seeing while you're in New York?
I just kind of wanted to hang out with my best friend, Sam. You should follow him at Sam Stanish on Twitter. He's great. He's an RHAP patron, so everyone should follow him. So I'm just here to see him, and I might go to like a cheap matinee of a play or something on Saturday. I can't afford to see Come From Away.
But I love Come From Away so much, and it started in Toronto. Well, it didn't start in Toronto, but like the people who made it are from Toronto, and those are Toronto theater artists, and it makes me so happy, and I know so many of them, and it's great.
Well, by play, I literally meant play, because they're cheaper than musicals.
Fine.
So I might have to see that, but I ran into two celebrities today.
Ooh.
It was a really exciting day for me. I ran into Telly Leung, who's currently playing Aladdin on Broadway, but I saw him in Godspell like 3 years ago.
Okay, and I know that name, but I don't know why.
And only I would see a like not even that famous Broadway star at Starbucks and like freak out.
Brian Darcy James walked into a cafe, It was like a cafe Pret or something.
A Pret a Manger. I love him.
That thing. Yeah, he walked in last time I was there. It was very exciting.
Yeah.
We were just in the middle of a conversation about him, too, which was really exciting.
No, he's great. I get more starstruck by Broadway stars than like anyone else. And then I was walking down Fifth Avenue. I already tweeted about both these experiences, but I was walking down Fifth Avenue and I ran into Zach Woods from Silicon Valley and The Office.
Okay. Zach Woods is literally my number one Hollywood crush right now.
He's so hot.
He is my favorite, and he's not on social media. And this drives me absolutely crazy. And I once spontaneously went to a UCB show in New York because it was one of those New York moments where I was walking by a giant line and was like, what's this line for? And then it was for a UCB show. And so I went in and it wasn't a very good show. It was a totally random thing. But he walked by me because that's sort of his unofficial headquarters.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I just love him so much. He's never not funny. Seth Meyers had him on my birthday. And I literally felt that Seth had given me a birthday present.
Was that the interview where he talked about getting his wisdom teeth out?
No, that's an old one, I think. The one where he was talking about the guy, his dentist and how he played trumpet. And he had this dentist who like had a nickname for himself. That's all on YouTube. If you YouTube Zach Woods, that's like the first clip that comes up.
And yeah, I have a huge crush on him. And I think he was with his mom. He was really nice, but I didn't get a picture because he seemed like he was just like, having a time with his mom.
Oh, you like actually say hi to these people when you see them.
Yeah,
I'm a notorious not say hi-er.
If anyone has ever been with me at like one of the Survivor events or at American Ninja Warrior or whatever, I'm really bad at going up to people because I'm like, I don't want to bother them. But I was walking down Fifth Avenue. He was walking towards me and I literally just spontaneously, I could not help myself. I was just like, Zach Woods. And he like, you know, looked at me, obviously. And I didn't bother him for a picture. He was clearly like, you know, just living his life. But I was like, I'm a huge fan. I love your improv in Silicon Valley and all that. And he was like, oh, that's so sweet. What's your name? And he gave me a hug. And it was a really nice experience.
And he's a really good, I try and like remind myself that a certain level of star doesn't get that very often. And I'm really good with names and faces. So like, he's actually above the person, the sort of level I'm talking about, but there are a lot of people who I recognize them on the street and I'm kind of excited to see them, and people don't do that to them very often because they're sort of that guy kind of actor. Mm-hmm. And so those people I try and remind myself that it's really nice to go up, like I'm like, if someone were to go up to you at an RHAP event, I'm sure you would appreciate it.
Yeah, people do. And like, it's really nice.
Right, whereas like I probably wouldn't go up to you at, I mean now I would because like you're my co-host, but like, you know what I mean? If I was just a general listener, even if you were my favorite person on the network, I might not say hi because I'm like super nervous. There's need to like this is true, this is very true. Somebody commented on the comment section this week something like, I'm team center stage, but I also love Lita. And I was like, and my reply was basically just like, yes, you should love Lita. Here are the following reasons why you should love Lita.
Oh, I didn't see. I saw that comment. I didn't see a response.
I told them to listen to American Ninja Warrior. Like, it was like, always very involved.
Promotion. Anyway, yes. We are theoretical.
Anyway, you should talk to people if you think that if you like them and you see them on the street, say hi, as long as they're not super famous.
Yeah, I'm definitely like, I will go up and say hi to people. I always feel annoying if I ask for a photo because then you have to get another person involved. Or you can ask for a selfie, but it's always just like, I just don't want to like disrupt them. I feel like saying hi and getting a hug is just like they can go and continue their day.
Fair. Also, you don't always know if people feel like they're in selfie mode, right?
Yeah.
Like, I certainly don't like getting my picture taken when I'm just like out wandering.
Yeah,
the street
that's
with
how
my
I
mom.
Feel also. So I,
yeah,
it
yeah.
was an exciting Fair. Day. I ran into two people that gave me, that made me starstruck. So in like the span of literally 1 hour. So,
oh my God, Zach Woods. I'm so jealous. I love him. He's like, and I felt there, I feel very like isolated in my love of him. But yeah. So I'm glad that you love him too.
He's unconventionally attractive, but he's
oh,
so
I
attractive.
Don't even like, I'm not really, God, if you're smart and funny, I couldn't care less. I just, man. I just love him so much. He's one of those people who's like often on two shows at once and cameoing in a movie, all of which are brilliant at the same time. And you're like, how are you a person?
Yes. Yeah, so
we should probably get back on topic, but now you've brought up Zach Woods, I'm never gonna stop talking about him.
It's been an exciting day for me, but I am here to do the most exciting part of my day, which is to talk about the So You Think You Can Dance episode from this week.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad that you are here, even though you're in New York. And I apologies to everyone on this week's lateness. Last week's lateness was, in fact, Alita's fault. This week's lateness is 100% my fault.
I feel like it's not 100% because you could have done earlier today, but I was on a bus. So it's like 90-10.
Sure. I'll give you 90-10. I also could have done Tuesday afternoon, in all fairness.
Oh,
but,
that was, yeah, that was me.
Yeah. I had a snafu where I forgot about checkout times at hotels and that they won't let you podcast in the room if you're not paying for that
so
night.
Selfish.
I know. It's like, whatever, right? How dare they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just found myself traveling without anywhere to do it. And I felt that maybe like podcasting from a Starbucks wouldn't be super great.
No, so. It would not be.
Although I've done an interview in a podcast before, like a Skype interview. And at the time, I didn't have the technology figured out to be able to listen to their part on my headphones. So it was literally just like Skyping with someone, no headphones, the entire Second Cup, which is like a Canadian coffee chain. Everyone could hear the entire interview. It was truly awkward.
Yeah. Well, we're not subjecting our listeners to that. We are both in a space where we can appropriately podcast, but hopefully we will be back on a normal schedule. I know I will be, as far as I know. Next
yeah, we
week
should be good for next week, and we should be able to get this episode out with a little bit more of leg room before, by the time people were listening to last week's podcast, a lot of them had already seen this week's episode. Yeah. And so they were commenting with sort of a bit of an omniscience that yes. was quite eerie. Someone was like, I fear Paul won't be here anymore, and I was like, oh please, you've already seen this episode.
Yeah. People know I'm on a spirit journey. Okay, I'm doing my best.
Yes.
While I'm here.
Spirit journeys are important.
They are.
They're very important. But you know what else is important?
Podcast.
This African jazz opener, or it was African hip hop.
What a transition!
Some sort of influenced hip hop thing. I had some complicated feelings
I'm
about
sure
this.
That you did.
Harking back to a conversation we had last week about African jazz. This was technically a hip hop routine,
yes.
but it looked like an African jazz routine. Lita, how did you feel about this Luther Brown thing that happened?
I like don't even have any notes about it. This was just a thing that I watched and didn't really have any feelings about. I think that
that happens. It, like every routine Robert and Taylor have ever danced.
Yeah, this,
I saw it. I don't know that I had anything to say about it.
Exactly. It was fine. I never really like when all these people are in like a specific cultural costume, or worse, in a vague mm-hmm. cultural costume, which is what this was. Mm-hmm. Not my favorite. Also, I watched this on Hulu, so I don't know if this was a TV, if this happened on TV, but throughout the whole episode, the audio did not include the audience clapping. So all of the routines ended in dead silence, which was very strange and very distracting.
I did not notice that.
That may
but it's also possible
Hulu.
I wouldn't have noticed that because I don't really care about clapping.
Yeah, but I thought that the routine ended and everyone was just in like stunned silence for a second. And then it kept happening. So that
there were also a bunch of pre-recorded things in this episode.
Like what?
Like I would say like both, maybe not this one, because then we saw them in these costumes for their individual intros. But the both group routines to me looked very pre-filmed. At the very least, the All-Star one had to be pre-filmed because it had a camera trick in it.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Where this was the episode where they've changed clothes spontaneously in the middle of a routine, right?
I thought that they just pulled them off and I didn't notice.
No, I rewound to make sure that wasn't the case because that would have been very cool. But as I've said in previous podcasts, I'm getting very tired of the group routines that are just camera, like they're film camera tricks more than they're dancing tricks and things that wouldn't be as effective on the actual, like if you're in the audience watching them on the stage. And this was definitely one of them. I rewound because they do a close up on Robert, and theoretically my first instinct was, oh, people are doing a really cool quick change, what was that crazy couple that did the HOH competition where they were doing the I wish I could remember their name. They had a funny names. But something like that, where they were like doing a quick change while the camera was close up on Robert, that would have been cool. That was not what it was. I rewound to find it in he's in his contemporary outfit, like not contemporary the style, like he's in his modern outfit when they go in for the close up. So it's in that cut to the close up that the change happens. So definitely, definitely pre-recorded.
So what did you think about this African hip hop jazz routine?
Oh, right. Back to that. I found it upsetting and tokeny and offensive, but I also am very aware that, like, if Luther Brown was cool with it, I guess, like, who am I to say that it was offensive? Like, right? Like, I don't know. Luther's smart and informed and theoretically relatively sensitive and Canadian, and he, you know, I feel like that's his call to make, I guess. But it did lean into the thoughts that I have about the representation of African jazz as a style on the show that I got into last week. And if you want to hear that particular rant, listen to last week's episode again, because it's basically just like, why must all African things be super like tribally? It sat weirdly with me, but I also am very aware that, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. So,
but most importantly, who stood out to you in the routine? Who was the one that was the most focused on?
I mean, I'm feeling in general that choreographers are really leaning on Lex in the group routine.
I also have Lex as the person who stood out the most.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if that is his abilities, like, you know, when you just see people doing total unison, somebody who really sparkles and grabs your eye. I don't know that it's actually Lex that's doing that, or if it's that the choreographers are favoring him
or that the camera is just on him.
That's true, right? There's like three levels to it. There's who's actually standing out, there's the choreographers, and then on top of that there's the cameras and direction and who they are singling out. You're absolutely right. So, like, I don't know, I definitely have noticed that Lex is being featured a lot. I didn't take note of that in this particular one because I was so distracted by my larger thoughts about peace and my surprise that it turned out to be a Luther Brown instead of a Sean Cheeseman.
Yeah, I just commented there was a lot of Lex, but I think it was mostly just the camera in his face.
Yeah. What do you think of the new, to get off of this weird thing? What do you think of the new opening with the like sepia? It's like slower music, like the opening theme song.
Yeah, and it's all people from this season.
And it's sepia toned, which is very not exciting.
I think it's fine, but I miss like all the rando people that have no relevance anymore, except that like Snow was like heavily featured in the like opening. There's just like random people from like season one that were in the opening for so long. And now it's just all people from this current season.
Yeah. I was a big fan of that middle one, the one that, like, the second iteration with all angles? Of the angles, like the mask, yes. Gooey. It was very cool. That one was always very, like, Melanie Moore heavy, and I always love Melanie Moore, so.
Yeah, of course.
I think this one's drab and weird, and I like the idea of featuring people from this season, but, like, why is it sepia, and why is it slow?
I don't know, but I like that they haven't changed the actual music, which is good. They still keep like the old timey, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like a theme song. I'm not big into rebranding. So a theme song change always bothers me.
Yeah.
So I like that they've kept it.
It's classic. It gives me nostalgia every time I hear it.
Yeah. So my only other comments about the opening stuff is Kat, I think, looks incredible this week, in all caps, incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think that Vanessa looks like a Kardashian. Thoughts and feelings.
I have glam Morticia Adams.
Oh, that's also true. That is also true.
She has the center part with the really long straight hair.
And it was the blue eyeshadow that I really just couldn't. I couldn't.
Yeah.
And it felt like her spray tanner got a little... went a little overboard this week.
Yeah, I can see. She also kind of talks like a Kardashian, where she's like, oh my god, I loved you.
I want to hear that impression always and also never. So I don't know what to think about that. But Kat looks amazing this week, and we can focus on that instead of Vanessa, who I've definitively decided I don't like, and I'm over it.
I was agreeing with her a lot this week, but we can get into that. So we will start with the pride and joy of Team Step Up, who is Step Up. It's so Logan funny. And Allison. We don't need to talk about the draft.
I love talking about the draft. I lost someone in my draft this week. So you're
looking
a little
bit better.
You
lost the people that they went to your team by default.
Yeah, but I still liked them. And I was very happy to get a little bit of support in the comment section this week for the Paul love. But we're currently talking about the stars of Team Step Up. Who I do think they are a great threat to Team Center Stage, these guys, because I do think they're going to at least be in the finals.
At this point, my only major threat to Team Center. I still think the Lex and Gabby have a good shot.
They do. And I never underestimate Fiction and Dassey.
They're in the bottom this week. I don't know.
Yeah. But was last week the week they did the weird thing in the hats? Or was that two weeks ago?
I don't know. The weird thing in the hats might need to be more specific. Because Cyrus and Kaylee did hats this week.
Cyrus and Kaylee did hats.
They had
bowler hats. I like that. There was a thing. They looked like pimps. They were.
Oh yes, that was Jassy and Fiction. That was the first week, though.
Oh, what did they do last week?
Last week they did Bollywood.
Oh wait, why were they in the bottom? They were fantastic last week. Anyway, we are talking about Logan and Allison, but
I'm a little worried
about Team Step Up coming in and taking the crown from people I actually like.
I like Logan and Allison.
They're fine. They're fine.
I'm so in on Logan. I expressed it last week, and I'm just getting more and more in on him. So
I love the jive. The jive is the best.
Yeah, and it's a Sasha and Emma jive.
Okay, yeah. I'm actually, this is a little too much, though, right? Like, I love Emma. Anyone who wants evidence of that can listen to any episode of Dancing with the Stars where I was just like, Emma, 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 the whole time. And she won, and I love her so much. Sasha, not so much into Sasha. Don't understand this couple. But mostly, at a certain, like, I've complained before about this idea of just everybody being a TV choreographer instead of a real like, go get real choreographers. You can't just... Now we're leaning way too hard into this Dancing with the Stars thing.
Yeah.
Like, way too hard.
Yeah, and this was also not the most original routine we've ever seen. One thing that I want to point out before we get to the routine is that Logan doesn't know what cheeky means. And
really?
Yeah, in the package, he's saying, do you mean cheesy? And they're like, no, cheeky.
Oh, yeah.
He's never heard this word before. That's true. So they do it, and it looks exactly... Have you ever seen the Christina Aguilera video for Candyman, which Benji is in?
No, I have not.
I have way too many times. Christina Aguilera has a great song called Candyman, and it's kind of like a 1940s sounding song. And the video for it, it's like World War II, like military people, and she's singing on a cruise ship or whatever. Not a cruise ship. I don't know. It's all, they're all dressed exactly like Logan and Allison is what I'm getting at. And Benji is in it.
Oh, like she's at the U.S. concert
or whatever. They're wearing the brown uniforms with the hats. He just looks exactly like Benji in that video. And so I felt like, I don't know, this just seems a little on the nose and a little been there, done that.
I mean, I loved it too. I thought it was just super cute.
It was super cute.
But you're right. It was completely uninventive. And I'll tell you why it was completely uninventive. Because on Dancing with the Stars, you have more, like, you're so worried about actually teaching the routine, not only teaching the routine, but teaching them how to dance.
Yeah.
That your routines have to be pretty basic, and they have to be these really sort of broad, easy to remember little themes, right? You can't tell a huge story, but you have to have some little recognizable thing. And the audience skews older on Dancing with the Stars. And this is a sort of routine that would have been a massive hit on Dancing with the Stars. And these are not the same show, and we shouldn't, the same talent doesn't work for the same show. So just the exact same or opposite, maybe, reason why Jenna is not a great Dancing with the Stars pro, but is a really good, well, or, you know, I don't know that she's a great all-star, but she's really great. So you think you can dance personality. They're different skill sets, and we can't just keep poaching people no matter how much I love them. Because Emma, you can't just take people from this other show in an effort to steal some of their audience. Forge your own way, guys. Yeah. Come on. This would have worked perfectly on Dancing with the Stars. Here it was better danced than it would have been in Dancing with the Stars because it's two dancers. And it was delightful, but it was simple.
What I did love was Mary giving an actual critique.
She did it a couple times this episode. I love serious Mary.
She said it was great, but your triple steps are bouncy. And that's exactly what she needs to tell him.
I love when she uses like technique words.
That's exactly what it was, though. It looked like he was hopping, which like it's hard in jazz. Like it's hard in jive because
how dare you?
Because if you don't know the style, then it does kind of look like hopping or bouncing, but it's a very different thing. It's like where you land on your foot and how you are bending your knee. So I was happy to see Mary doing this tonight. And yeah, it was fun. It was cute. It wasn't technically amazing, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a happiness dance, not an art dance.
That said, my jaw physically dropped during Logan's solo, and I'm just so into his movement.
Yeah, I think Logan's probably the best soloist on this stage. Like he's. I mean, my only note on Logan's solo is literally I just wrote incredible. So I do think he's probably the best soloist. I also think that the solos don't matter that much. I think they can save you if you're in the bottom three. That is one thing. If the judges are torn, they will. I do think your solo can save you as long as they think you can bounce back in the couple dance next week. But if you do bad couple dance after bad couple dance, no matter how amazing your solo is, you're going home. And if you need evidence of that, think back to the existence of Robert on the show just a mere 2 weeks ago.
I think it's like it's sort of like maybe even to a lesser extent like on RuPaul's Drag Race, where I think if Ru knows who he wants to send home, then a lip sync is not going to save you unless you like really, really blow it out of the water, in which case it can definitely be like a tiebreaker, but it's not really going to be the deciding factor.
Or if you completely bomb, it can destroy. Like if he was going to keep you might.
But it's mostly just a tiebreaker or a formality or something like that. So next up we have Cyrus and Kaylee. They're going to do jazz with Spencer Liff. And we have this packet.
Really? I thought we have Marco Coyne next. Oh, I see what
Kaylee
you did.
Was
you did
the solo. Thing. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have explained this. I just have it in my notes as who was just like up in whatever they were doing, a solo or a routine.
Right. Got it. Cyrus and Kaylee. Almost all of my comments about this one are in all caps.
Interesting. Well, so they have this their video package is like don't drop the hats. And we've seen this like 9 times in the history of So You Think You Can Dance where it's like, hats are hard.
But Lita, it's important that they don't drop their hats.
Whatever. Less hats.
What would happen if they dropped a hat?
More art is what I have to say about this. I'm
fair.
Very
fair.
In the hats. I love this song. And I feel like this really suits Kaylee and Cyrus.
Yes. And also just is like a perfect mantra for life because, and for this show, because when they do like art dancing, it's so important to me.
Less hats, more art.
Yes. Like it's just, I love so much the heart of this dance and the idea of this dance and that it's like,
art.
Or at least it's trying to be. I also like Spencer Liff a lot. I think he's pretty fierce. And I like that he's a real working dancer. Like if you see things, he's in things. He's often one of the dancers on like doing if there's a routine at the Oscars where everybody's dancing to doing an opening number, dancing to the nominated scores or whatever. You'll often be able to spot Spencer Liff in the crowd. I like that a lot.
This was. Cool.
Also, just let's talk more art.
This was probably tied for my favorite routine of the night, I think.
I loved it a whole bunch. Technically, though, so I was blinded by my love of them. What did you think about it, technically speaking? Do you think that they're going to be able to actually do this, or are they still just a step behind people, technically speaking?
I thought that Kaylee was absolutely perfect, technically, and I don't understand what the judges were talking about. Perfect for what we can expect of her. She's not a jazz dancer. I don't think that there was any reason for the judges to be critiquing her the way that they were. And I feel like this is the second time this has happened where I felt their critiques of Kaylee were unfair.
Okay. So we feeling that the judges just want them out?
I don't know what it is. They are just having an issue with Kaylee that I don't have. And I don't remember what it was, but I think it was the first week they gave her a critique about, it was something about like her connection with the audience or something like that, that I just completely was like, no, what you're saying is not true. That doesn't ring true for me at all. And I felt that way with this as well. And I thought that Cyrus actually brought it too. Like, you know, they make a comment of like, you are outshone by Kaylee. And it's like, yeah, because she's a better jazz dancer.
And because she's the contestant.
She's the contestant.
And he's a supportive partner. Like this idea, I think some of them are focusing too much on being the all-star and not enough on being the partner. And you know, say what you want about Kiki, this idea that he's this sort of like unglamorous partner guy, certainly in the world of ballroom, definitely in the world of ballet, that is an incredibly good quality. And I think it's something Cyrus is bringing both on the dance floor and in the rehearsal room to Kaylee and really making her the showpiece. And I think that's exactly the best possible thing for an all-star to be doing.
Yeah, they say you were eclipsed by Kaylee, and Cyrus is like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's great. And this is the first point in the night where I'm completely agreeing with Vanessa, where she's like, I thought it was great. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. I will say, though, Nigel is listening to this podcast because he's just like, I'm calling you impavido. It's just, it makes more sense. And I'm like, okay, except that, like, it had to have been his call that she was going to be called Kaylee. Like, there's no reason. Like, he's the executive producer. If you want her to be impavido, she could be impavido. I don't know why she's still Kaylee then. But I do like at least that he's reminding us that she's impavido. He's going to at least call her impavido. And I think that's because we complained about it a lot.
That's definitely what happened.
Thank you for listening, Nigel. Sorry about all the many, many criticisms and the times I've called you creepy.
Everything else.
sometimes you're right. And this was one of those small times, just about this one issue, you were generally wrong about Kaylee in general. Okay.
Yes. Moving on, we're going to hop over to my favorite couple in yours, Sydney and Paul. They are gonna do some hip-hop, and I just have God help us all written.
Okay. Sorry, I'm having a giggle fit. I love them so much. They're so cute.
Oh, come on.
They're so cute.
This routine was garbage. This was a trash fire routine. And I complained last week about Sydney, or maybe it was Taylor, someone wearing literal underwear in their...
That was Taylor. Don't bring Sydney in.
Well, Sydney this week, and I know that she's not in charge of the costuming. I am not blaming her. She's wearing a Triangle brand bikini top, like the most recognizable brand of bikini top she is wearing. That is not dancewear. That is a bikini.
Wait, are we talking about her solo right now?
No, we're talking about the routine that she did with Paul. Her solo was also garbage. She's wearing these fringe pants that she wore in
the fringe pants.
In her audition. And the fringe pants need to be retired. I remember Allison wearing fringe pants in a West Coast swing that she did in season 2. The fringe pants need to go. They are a shortcut to make something look like dance when it's not.
Fiery Alita's hilarious.
I'm so angry that Sydney did not go home last week and we had to sit through her for one more week. When we could have had Jasmine.
There is nothing wrong with Sydney. Sydney's perfectly fine. I liked your pants. I don't generally like pants, but I think that a ball...
not all pants!
Sorry, this is such a giggly podcast. I'm sorry, guys, it's really late. I don't generally like fringe pants, but I felt that in a ballroom, like, I think that they suited and augmented her ballroom solo, and there's only so much that can be done with a really boring ballroom solo. I thought she actually did really good ballroom solos in her short time on the show. Understanding that ballroom solos are stinky, I think they were pretty good. They were interesting. I thought this one had a really strong ending. I was fine with it. I didn't mind her pants. I thought they were at least interesting, and they showed off some of the cool things she was doing with her legs. Now, this routine. Holy moly, this routine. So first of all, and thank God Nigel did bring this up, just on a technical standpoint, it's pretty easy. Other than like style stuff, in terms of technique, the thing about hip hop, really, the only thing you have to do is really get down into it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there are style and like stank face and grit and all that kind of stuff that you have to put on top of it performance wise. But in terms of like literal technique, there are not that many things you need to hit. The one thing is you really have to sink into it. And she was not low enough. That said,
painful.
OK. All right. But like. I thought this was a really stupid routine.
I agree.
It might have been okay if given to like a Dassian Fiction who might have been able to do something with it. It still would have been a weak hip hop routine for them. It might have been cooler if you gave it to someone really cool. But this was one of those situations where the person dancing it would have had to make the routine cooler by being so cool themselves.
But it's possible that the choreography was so weak because Sydney wasn't able to do anything.
No, this was a stupid routine. Like, style-wise, like, the song, the look, like, everything about this routine was not a
wig.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was not a cool routine.
Yeah.
And I just, especially Paul, like, I just feel that if they had been pushed, if they had been given something, well, there are two ways to go with this, right? You're assigned hip-hop. You can either do sort of like Marco and Koine got, but like that sort of classic Tabitha Napoleon lyrical hip hop thing that's really story driven. It's not as gritty. Or what I think would have preferred to have seen, I really wanted to see them challenged. I would have liked to have seen them given something hard hitting. I don't want to see them doing something hyper stylized. I don't want to see them dancing as aliens or doing some sort of whatever. I just want to see them do like a badass, like that Beyonce routine a few years ago, or the one My Chick Bad, or like one of those things that's just like a honest to God hip hop routine that really challenged them to just go there. I think this half measure thing really hurt them because it didn't force them, especially Sydney. I think that she could have done it if she was given no opportunity to sort of not do it. If that was the assignment, I think she could have done it. But because the assignment was sort of vague and it was in the middle and it wasn't really stank face, it wasn't really gritty, it was just kind of medium. And it was almost like she could draw on her jazz side of her. And that was going to make her not good at hip hop. I think she needed to
be pushed off the ledge to see if she could swim. And I'm not saying I don't think she could have swum. I think she could have swum at least a little bit. And I know Paul can swim, but I just, also, I like anytime someone who always gels their hair has like a, I didn't gel my hair this week routine. So that's my Paul thought of the day, which is also something I would say about Val all the time. If you listen to Dance with the Stars. End of thing about Paul and Sydney.
I found this routine completely unwatchable, and I would like to move on because this makes me so angry that this was on my television.
But, okay. It's just, I just think it's important to separate.
I thought the choreography was terrible. I agree with you.
Right?
Like, I did think the choreography was terrible.
Of what you hated was actually Sydney and Paul, and how much of what you hated was everything that was thrown at Sydney and Paul in a really unfortunate mashup of thing you kind of hate and lots of things you super hate.
I think it was both. I found the whole routine unwatchable, from the choreography to the costuming to the dancing. Everything about it was horrendous.
Well, rest in peace, Paul and Sydney.
Goodbye.
I hope Paul comes back. We had a lovely comment on our site this week talking about how Paul is an acquired taste and you have to spend time with him to unlock him and get to know him. And it's unfortunate Lita will never get that time.
I'm sorry, Paul. Just know that all of my negative feelings towards you is about your partner.
Oh my God. I'm gonna have Paul on the podcast.
I have no issue with Paul. I just don't really remember him from his original season. And I think that it's outrageous that Sydney did not go home last week.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Which is not her fault. It's no one's fault except Vanessa and Mary's. That's whose fault it is.
Yeah, that was interesting. I had that note later on, but we can talk about it now. Nigel almost never, I don't remember at all him doing this in the history of the show, acknowledging when he says we are not unanimous, which he always says.
Yeah.
I've sort of always assumed that that meant that one of the women or one of the other judges disagreed with the choice, but I assume Nigel always got his way. He outright admitted this week that he wanted Robert to stay. And yes. you had to do a little bit of like, oh, that means I guess that blah, blah, blah. But he outright said that he wanted Robert to stay, and he got outvoted by the two women who voted to keep Sydney.
He said, Sydney, you showed like what you can do. And that is why the two ladies voted to keep you.
Yeah. Which means he was outvoted, which I find very interesting and didn't think was ever a thing that happened. So,
and I'm with you, Nigel.
Interesting.
I'm totally, totally with you.
I mean, it depends what you're looking at. I liked their contemporary last week, but I'm also rooting for Team Center Stage in general, and Paul always. But let's move on from Paul and Sydney. Do you have any parting thoughts other than just general hatred towards Sydney?
No. And again, I don't think it's her fault. Like, what was she going to do? Quit? Like, instead of Robert? Like, of course it's not her fault that she stayed an extra week. I really felt like she was not on the same level as literally anyone else in the top 10. I thought that she was the weakest of the top 10. And I just wasn't interested in this pairing, and I didn't really think that she had any range, and I'm totally fine with this elimination. I'm happy that this happened.
I think she's more interesting than Kiki. So we'll put her in the bottom tier, but not by herself, of the top 10. And I do think that it's important to remember that it's not the fault of the person who stays.
It is absolutely not her fault.
Because if we were playing by those rules, then we'd have to dislike Cyrus for making it so ridiculously far in his season. And I refuse on all fronts to ever dislike Cyrus.
No, yeah, I am. It really, really is nothing against Sydney. Someone has to be the worst in the top 10. And that's just what it is. And that's how.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Let's move on, shall we?
Let's move on to some good hip hop. We're going to go over to Marco and Coigné.
I love them so much. My heart bursts.
Yes. So they're going to do a Dave Scott hip hop routine. And conversely to everything we just said, we have some great choreography, some incredible costuming, and some great dancing right here.
Oh, man. First of all, Dave Scott seems like so much fun.
Yes, I agree.
Seems like a super cool dude. This was so cute. It was amazing. I also love that in the package, I feel like there's two ways when people are confronted with going out of their style, there's sort of generally two ways they go. You get what I feel is like the Kiki reaction, and it's also a general reaction of, oh God, that's scary. I don't know if I can do this outside of my style, but I'm going to try. And then you have Koine, who was just so excited to try.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't intimidated. She was just like, hells yes, let's do this. It'll be fun. And I think that's an amazing attitude. And it's, I just like that she's not intimidated, because at the end of the day, it's just a dance.
Yeah.
She has all week and it'll be fun. And what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to go home in eighth place. And so you think you can dance, like, you'll be fine. Just have fun.
Yeah, you get to go on the tour.
And it was amazing. Yeah. And he's danced with Marco. Like, Koine's life is good.
Yeah.
And she knows that. And she's just chill with it. And I just think she's so positive and wonderful. And gosh, winner picks so hard.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the story of this, too, where she's like a pageant girl who's going to give up on pageants. She's going to leave that world. And it was really just like all about her. And Marco was just, you know, there and beautiful. I don't want to say he was just there, but because he was beautiful, he's an incredible dancer, but it really was all about her. She had this glittery mascara running down her face. She's looking at herself in the mirror with her tiara on. It totally gave me chills at the beginning of the routine. And in real life, she says, like, oh, it works because he's one of my actual best friends in real life. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah,
I love them. I mean, on one hand, she's only known them like 3 weeks, and so I'm like, okay, that's sad. But on the other
hand, I think it's possible, though. I think when you make art together, like, it forces a certain bond more quickly than
that's true,
especially if you make really good and really intimate art.
That's true. And also, they would have, I don't know how long the break is in between Academy filming and when the live show started, but they might have like hung out in between. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's certainly something to be said about partnering and being sort of like a team. You see this on Dancing with the Stars too. Like, they get so close because there's an intimacy there. And anytime it's like you're literally a team, it becomes a you against the world thing and all that kind of stuff. It was super cute. It was just my brain went a little bit like, oh, I wonder how her best friends like from childhood feel. Like her high school best friend who's like stood by her for 15 years.
She said he's one of her best friends.
I know, it just made me laugh. But it was so cute, and I loved that. I do love that it was really about her, because, again, to go back to my point about All-Stars, I did also feel like I was reminded, and this could just be because it takes very little to get my brain to go to this place, but it reminded me a little bit of the routine with Melanie and Marco, where he gets left at the altar, one of my all-time favorite routines, and she comes and picks him up, essentially. I got you routine that is one of my all-time favorites. Remind me a little bit, little tiny shades of it, in a way, sort of.
Yeah, this was absolutely wonderful. So, you know, she does these things where her lines are just too pretty, her wrists are kind of floaty, but it doesn't matter. This is so good.
Yeah, I mean, you saw that in her solo, right? Her solo was beautiful but boring.
Yeah, she looked ridiculously beautiful in her solo, though. There were a lot of really good bodysuits in the solos this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Koine is off the charts beautiful. Like, just what the hell? I feel like people who are that beautiful shouldn't be allowed to be talented or charming. I feel like you have to pick one.
Yeah. But, which we could also say for Marco, which is why this pairing is so dangerous.
Marco. God, I love Marco so much. And he has bullet in him, guys. He's a hero. I don't know if he's a hero. He just got shot. Those are not necessarily the same thing. He's so great. I also, in the comments, I don't often take notes on the comments because for my sanity I like to ignore the judges, but Nigel, in this is the part where he said the thing about American Idol and how he like dealt with divas in American Idol, and there's lots of people this could apply to. I choose to believe that this was him throwing shade at Catherine McPhee, because I just think that that's perfect somehow.
Because Karen Cartwright, how could she play that character and not be at least a little bit Karen Cartwright in real life?
And her mom was like one of the coaches on that show, so like she was such a stage mom, which means that Catherine was like a young pageanty. She did like the competitions, and I don't know, I feel that this must have been, I mean, who else could it have been? I just feel strongly that it was a Catherine McPhee moment, and it made me laugh a lot. Because we also forget that he was the American Idol guy.
Yeah.
He's responsible for, like, so much of the culture at the moment.
Yeah. Thanks, Nigel. Avid listener of the podcast, Nigel Lithgow.
Yeah. See, we're nice to you, Nigel.
So let's go on to Fiction and Dassey. And they've got a Ray Leeper jazz routine, and Dassey has to be sexy.
But
it's
clean.
A real conflict for her.
But clean.
But clean.
Stay sexy, but clean always is very good life advice.
Yeah, and I never need to hear Fiction talk about getting hot and bothered again in my life.
He is the least sexy person. I don't get it. I would like somebody, okay, I'm sure you are out there because, you know, it bothers me a little bit on the main podcast when people talk about, like, the people, survivors and Big Brother players that the casuals like and only the casuals like them. Because, like, I like Joe Anglim, too. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I love Ozzy.
I'm not. Yeah, exactly. I'm not a casual, but I like Joe Anglim. So. But that said, Fiction is so that guy. The guy that, like, if you're paying that a lot of attention, you probably, like, I don't understand how people could like him, but the general basic audience seems to love him in a super casual way.
I like Fiction. I just don't need to hear him talk about being hot and bothered.
Can you? Okay. So maybe you can do this then, because I was going to say, I'm going to, like, put the call out to the comment section. I would like somebody to make an impassioned and reasonable explanation for why Fiction is as popular as he is, because I don't see it at all.
Well, I can't make that argument. I like him. I find him charismatic and, you know, good in pretty much every style. Well, there's just no one on So You Think. There's almost no one on So You Think You Can Dance that I can be like, I actively dislike this person, with the exception of, like, Asif, who, like, went on to go on Are You the One?
I forgot about Asif. Whoa. Yeah, he was not great.
Yeah, he was on Are You the One because he was only interested in being on So You Think You Can Dance because he wanted to be reality TV famous, because he wants to be, like, an Instagram model or whatever. So I feel like, yeah, if you are like that, then I can actively dislike you. But other than that, like, there's no one that I don't like. I get why. I don't get why Fiction is so overwhelmingly popular, but I'm not sure he even is anymore. They were in the bottom three, so.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. That feels very glitchy to me.
People maybe just don't connect with Bollywood. I don't know.
Which is super sad, because Bollywood's amazing. Yeah, Bollywood's so that just awesome. Feels flat out racist, America. But, like, you know what it is? It's not that there's really anything wrong with Fiction except for when he talks about being sexy, because that's not.
Yeah,
cool.
No, that's not okay.
Almost anyone else in the show, go for it. Don't mind. But Fiction, I can't. You know what it is? I just have a very strong reaction to things being overrated.
And yeah, just, yeah. You talked about this last week a little bit about wanting to overcorrect.
Yeah, I can't. Fiction. Anyway, yeah, this was fine. I
also think that this was fine. That's the word that I can use.
It was fun. It was not that sexy, I will say. Like, no, anytime there's a package entirely about how they have to be super sexy, I'm expecting this routine to be hyper sexy. And I feel like the ones that are really sexy almost never are. Like, they don't, or they're not the ones that they talk about. I don't know. Like, I think that Marco and Koine, like, are super sexy because there's, like, an unspoken something or other that they never have to bring up because it's just there and they can rely on it and fall back on it. And there's, like, a chemistry. Or, like, Mark and Comfort are the sexiest people alive. And they never have to worry about it. Like, it's just there. And anytime you spend all your time talking about trying to be sexy, your routine's not going to be that sexy.
Yeah. I mean, it was no, like, Jenna and Concrete. That was hot and bothered.
Oh, yeah. That was hot.
So, yeah, I really don't have really anything to say about this.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Nigel is, like, predictably
Dassey's so
creepy.
Cute. Dassey's a hoot. Like, she's so fun. That's all I have to say. I do think they're going to do really well. I don't understand this bottom three thing.
No, I don't know.
I think it was a one-off. I think it was probably people were getting distracted, voting for somebody else. Now that he's been in the bottom, they're going to be like, oh, we have to remember to vote for Fiction because he was in danger that one time, and pull him back up.
Yeah, it'll be like Logan in the bottom last week. Like, I don't think it's going to happen again for a while.
Yeah, that was also a He Was Dancing Without Allison thing.
Yeah, so speaking of Jenna, let's go to Kiki and Jenna. First, I want to get your thoughts on Kiki's solo. How were his hips? Were they wiggly?
It's not. Okay. The word is wobbly. It was not wiggly versus jiggly. It was wobbly versus jiggly. He's fine. Who cares? Was Kat's whole thing, like her whole joke here, that he was going to fall off stage because he doesn't dance, because he dances without his glasses?
I think so.
Yes. I found it very confusing.
I thought, so I didn't get that until after. I thought he was going to like stage dive.
Yeah, I thought she'd like seen it in dress rehearsal and he danced really close to the edge. Or I thought maybe there was a story there and he had fallen off in dress rehearsal.
That would be incredible if Kiki was so bad at dancing that he literally fell off of the gigantic stage.
Kiki. I don't understand this at all either, Kiki. But at least sort of understand. Somebody in the comments pointed out that they were stalking him on Instagram, as you do. They were actually stalking people's Instagram to find me photographic evidence of the Lex and Taylor relationship, which apparently
we must now admit exists.
Yeah, but it still feels surreal to me. Like, why? Like, neither of those. Oh, whatever. Anyway, but this person pointed out, and I would get their name, but internet. They pointed out that he apparently had been in the Dancing with the Stars troupe like for multiple seasons. I have not seen every season of that show, so it's very possible I didn't see the season. It's also very possible I didn't notice him because he's a piece of wallpaper. So he's a super professional dancer is what the point of this little tangent.
Yeah.
But his solo was fine. He wasn't wearing his glasses. And how interesting is that, Kat?
Listen, he doesn't have a personality, so we have to do something.
It's so funny because I remember when he auditioned in that episode that you recorded without me, with Angela.
How dare I?
And how dare you? Yeah, it's not like she didn't record it without me, guys.
I didn't tell Kelly about it that week. I was just like, oh yeah, we're not doing it. And then I went behind her back.
I wasn't invited. I stepped out and the lovely Angela Bloom came in and replaced me. But he auditioned in that episode. And I remember agreeing with you at the time, you talking about how they were very delightful and charming. And looking back, his partner must be just a force of personality because she made him seem fun.
Yeah.
And like he is not a fun person at all.
Yeah. But he does have some insane chemistry with Jenna, I gotta say, in this routine.
Because Vanessa said that. She called their chemistry insane.
Oh, did she use that word?
Yeah, my note says their chemistry is not insane, which makes me believe that she used that word as well.
I absolutely think that it was.
Well, but I disagree, and here's why. I think that there is sort of like a contemporary that uses a cappella music. I think there are shortcuts to quote unquote chemistry.
Because this was a ballroom routine to slow music?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. It's like all Roombas are sexy, right? Like, whatever. This wasn't a Roomba, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it was just slow music, but also this is the big one. It's touching. And yes, it's dancing, so like, duh, they're touching. But like, certainly in theater, if you've got two young ingenues, if you just have them sort of like attached to each other all the time, it sells it in a way that feels really organic. They were just two professionals who are willing to touch each other's faces and can put their faces really close to each other without giggling. And
I completely disagree. I think that there were a lot of problems with how well received this routine was by the judges, particularly that Kiki didn't do anything. But I felt like this compared to something like Taylor and Robert, where they did a samba, so they were touching the whole time, and there was an absolute obvious lack of chemistry, in my opinion, and in the judges' opinions as well. I feel like Kiki and Jenna really have something there when they're dancing, and like Nigel says, Val might not be too happy about that.
Sorry, say that again. Oh, yeah. I thought that was interesting, too, right?
Funny.
Because she's never talked about, like, she's never acknowledged on either show that she's with Val.
Yeah.
So she made a face and I was like, oh, I wonder if he was like allowed to say that. I mean, they're public on Instagram and he recently, there was like a magazine article or something, but it still felt, it was the first time either show had ever acknowledged this couple. So it was sort of a strange, like, I am acknowledging that everybody knows, but a lot of the audience probably didn't know. So That was kind of interesting. I'm not talking about choreographed touching. I'm not talking about like a samba roll. A samba roll is never that. I mean, it's just like, fine, whatever. But it's like it's the moments in between. It's the really, and Jenna is so good at this.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen Jenna dance with somebody and felt that she didn't have chemistry with them?
No. I think that Jenna is
exactly
fantastic at it.
She is, but that to me points out that like it's not about Jenna and Kiki. It's just a talent Jenna has, and I really do think I was watching it. It's the faces. They're so willing to put their faces right next to each other without, and there's a maturity to it, and they just, and it's the moments in between. It's the character moments, the story moments. It's not like, and then Mandy Moore told us to put our faces together. Yeah. Sort of. It's like, it's that what is. It comes off as true intimacy, and I really think that it's fake. Mm-hmm. But I think that she's so savvy, and she knows that that's what you do. You nuzzle right in there, and that looks so real. And you see it a lot. The best Dancing with the Stars pros will really nuzzle in like their interview segments, or when they're getting their grades and stuff. Their scores. They have this like physical intimacy that I think is what's selling it. And I think it's coming. I think it's a Jenna thing. I don't think she's special with Kiki. I think she's good at this.
Yeah, that's fine. I just was really buying their chemistry. And so my whole thing about this routine was that I really enjoyed watching it because Jenna is such a ridiculously beautiful dancer. And this was all just lifts, and Kiki really did not do very much. And like I said, it was really just as close to a ballroom dance as you can possibly get, because they were never not connected. They were.
Yeah.
Oh, he was just there supporting her. So I think the standing ovation for him was absolutely ridiculous. And all of the comments that he got about his contemporary ability, because I don't really feel like he showed anything. That said, I really enjoyed watching it because Jenna is just, this was all Jenna. And she's a great dancer.
Jenna was gorgeous in this routine.
Incredible.
She was fabulous. And this was, who choreographed this?
This was Mandy Moore.
Was it?
Yes.
She is so smart. She's just so smart because it was so manipulative. Like it really did fool people into thinking he was dancing. And if you were paying attention, and especially like we're not that keen to praise Kiki, so we were kind of looking for flaws, and boy, were they there. He was not dancing at all. He was fancy walking and lifting. And that's it. Kemper Boyd tweeted this to us. She's like, what am I missing here? Yeah. He's not doing anything. And that's very true. But again, he's a partner. That's his whole thing.
Yeah.
And he's never going to shine. And they're just sort of at this point embracing the fact that Jenna's the star of this pair. And if they're going to make it far, it's entirely going to be because he is a steady base for her to stand on.
Yeah.
And on one hand, that really bothers me. I don't like the idea of the all-star essentially competing. He's so boring. But at the same time, you do have to play the cards you've got. And those are the cards they have. So maybe they're smart and we should give them credit for, you know, they've figured out how to play to the best of their abilities with the abilities that they have. And they're not the same abilities as Marco and Koine, but they're there. They're showing them off as best they can.
Yeah. And Nigel says that this is the best ballroom male doing contemporary that we've ever seen, which, like, talk about damning with faint praise. Like, what else could ever even be in the conversation? Like,
well, okay, so first of all, Benji never did contemporary,
right?
So he's one of the all-time great ballroom guys, and he's out of the consideration. But I'm sure at some point Pasha did a great routine. I know Paul's done great contemporary. Like, Alan, I'm sure, did great contemporary. Like, yes, it's damning with faint praise, and that, like, none of the ballroom guys
specifically.
We can't. And it's also very interesting, I think, when we're looking at the all-stars, all the people we talk about as being really versatile, all of them are women.
Yeah.
All of the men are hyper specialized. The only woman who's really specialized is Comfort. All of the other ones are general dancers. Mm-hmm. And all of the men are specialized. And that definitely, I mean, like, Paul might be the most well-rounded ballroom guy they have.
Yeah.
But there have been good ones, and this was not that good. So
you know, give him any, like, if he were to dance this routine exactly as he danced it, and give him, well, give him Sydney, give him a woman who is a fine dancer, isn't going to throw him off in any way, but is not special. And this is going to look very normal. And they would have kept their butts in those seats where they belonged.
Absolutely. Now, on the subject of comfort, you say she's a highly specialized dancer, but and this, I said earlier that the Kaylee and Cyrus's routine was tied for my favorite routine of the night. It was tied with this, with comfort and Mark's contemporary routine. I loved this.
This was so beautiful. I just wrote yes with a bunch of exclamation points.
I, like, started crying like the second this routine started. I don't know what came over me, but they were just looking at each other. And apart from my several issues with Comfort's tutu, this was perfect.
Yeah, I don't mean to say that Comfort can't do other things, but she's not, like, great at other things. But she can pull something out every once in a while. But, like, you talked about her feet in the last episode.
Her feet were good, though, in this. She must have gotten
She's like a contestant who, like, taught herself to exactly. You know, she rehearsed specifically for this routine to do her feet correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk, like, this I actually think is a really interesting side-by-side comparison. We're talking about chemistry. I think these people have chemistry when they are standing on opposite sides of the stage from each other, when they're standing beside each other facing out, when they're not touching in any way, when they're, like, poking the other one in the eye, they have chemistry.
Can you hear me?
Like, you know, they could be doing nothing and there's just, like, heat there. They're so compelling and just, like, it's like there's pieces of electricity flying in between them at all times. I just think they're amazing together and the connection is unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it might be the most tangible connection I've ever seen. And, like, yes, I love Marco and Koine, but, like, there's something, like, there's, like, a electricity that flies between these two people, and they don't have to be doing anything sexy to be sexy. Like, there's something intrinsic. And I just think they're so special together, and they're special apart. But because, you know, his solos are great, and obviously we all worship
solo
the altar of comfort.
Stunningly beautiful to me. We haven't seen, like, some real good old fashioned b-boying, I think, in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long. We used to have lots of b-boys. I feel like we haven't had one in ages. And it was fantastic. I'm thinking he might be the winner here. Like, I just said Mark and Quinn are the winners, but, like, between these two couples, I actually think, man, Mark. And I do think the show, voting wise, I think we favor a little bit hip hop. I think the voting tends to flip that way a little bit. Mark, man, these two are so special together. And we got a serious Mary comment here. Three weeks in a row, Nigel has mentioned Comfort's looks, which I could definitely live without.
Yeah.
But this, I loved it so much. It was simple, but the tricks were beautiful. And it was the acting was just, they're so special together. I can't get enough.
Yeah, I would absolutely not hate these two to be the winners.
Mm-hmm. Team center stage.
Sorry. That's what it is. They found out they were on your team and they really stepped it up.
Yeah.
Not that they haven't always been great, but this was their best routine of the three, easily.
Yeah. And they're great every week and they get better. Mm-hmm. And my one concern with Mark early on was that, oh God, that's a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to contain it? And when called upon to contain it, he just bottles it right back up and then uses it as, like, a fuel source. It's amazing. And even it's not even when it's forced upon him. Like, yes, this was a very serious routine. And they have their cute little ritual where Comfort's like, okay, calm down. But his solo this week, as you're right, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it was very contained and it was very serious. And he picked a slow song. And, like, he's so able to tone down the hamminess. Because, yeah, he does have a little bit of the, like, I love the camera. But he's so able to dispense with it. And I just, the two of them, I think Comfort really unlocks him. And I think that, they're so special. I just love them. I have nothing else to say. I'm just rambling.
Yes, we are in on the Comfort and Mark partnership. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, I'll stop.
Eventually. You have to do like their ritual where you like you freak out and then you're like,
just yes, getting back. Oh, they're so cute. I love that they have a ritual. And that was like the first week. They just
get each other.
Yeah, they. That's exactly it. I was about to say that, but yeah.
And moving to the other end of the just getting each other spectrum, we've got Robert and Taylor, really always feels like a father-daughter dance, which is not great.
Oh my god, that's exactly what it is. I was trying to figure out what the hell was wrong, and that's exactly it is.
Yeah, they're like, hey, can you guys bring the fire next week? And they're like, yeah, that we're gonna be hot together. And it's like, ugh, can you not be though?
Oh my god. Yeah
they do a samba, which I have always said is my favorite ballroom style to watch. Yes, why? I love the samba because I think that it's hot and cool and very distinct and fun. I don't know, I really like the
Mary
samba
says it's really hard, and I like that. I like when she
it is really hard
out the ballroom information.
Yeah, and also
experts.
Now Jean-Marc Généreux is back.
Thank so you so much. You are the first American who's ever pronounced Généreux correctly. Holy I mean, Kat's not an American actually, and the Canadian host could never pronounce Généreux either, but like Jean-Marc Généreux, I love him. He's a crazy person. Yeah, but he's so fun, and he's such an important like fixture from the early show. Mm-hmm. Very happy he's back. I missed France, his wife, who is like quiet but cool,
who looks like Bette Midler, and had to step in for someone when a woman got injured in one of the earlier seasons, and she actually did the performance.
That was not France.
Was
it? I do remember that woman who looks like Bette Midler. France does not look. I just called her France. But
wasn't that a Jean-Marc Généreux routine?
I don't think it was. I do remember the Bette Midler woman. I really don't think it was France. She does not look like Bette Midler in any way.
Okay, well, never mind.
I remember that woman looking like Bette Midler.
Oh, huh.
And she's like quite small, and she's a little. I mean, she's Jean-Marc's age, so she's older. But like, I don't think that was her. She's fantastic though. And Bette Midler will come up again later.
Oh, oh no, she will. Yeah.
Wait, was that?
Yes, I have them next. Yeah.
I just had a moment where I was like, wait, was the first routine to Boogie Woogie Boogie, Boogie Boy? Because that's also a Bette Midler song. But no, it's still to come because I don't want to miss my opportunity to talk about Bette Midler.
Oh, we won't. But right now we're talking about Robert and Taylor. And I will say I was impressed with her commitment and her performance quality. It was sloppy, but I felt like she was at least selling it.
Sure.
I thought I bought the chemistry between her and the audience, just not between her and Robert, which is better than nothing.
Sure. How do we feel about Robert? I'm trying to think. I'm all the famous Robert routines in my head have not been romantic routines. They've been like that routine he did about injuries with Tucker, the routine he did about brothers with Kent. Was it Kent? Yeah, he was Kent. Right. Is chemistry a struggle for Robert? Is this a him and Taylor issue, or is this basically the opposite of Jenna is Robert?
I don't know.
I can't think of a good example.
No, I can't either. But he's so handsome. I think he had a contemporary routine with Catherine, maybe.
Ooh, that'd be pretty.
Yeah.
That'd be technically exquisite.
Right. It was technically exquisite. I can't remember if it was romantic. I feel like it must have been. They're just two hot people doing contemporary. And I remember her not wearing too much. So I feel like it was probably sexy, but I don't remember much about the chemistry. I just remember it was really good.
Yeah, because like what's called what they're called upon to do and what they're actually able to sell unspoken is two different things. I feel like he's not great at chemistry. I do think him and Taylor is some of the worst chemistry ever.
I'm just gonna
but I do think it's not necessarily all her fault.
No, I don't think it's her fault either. I don't know what it is. There's a huge age difference here, right?
Is there? No, I think Robert's a lot younger than
we
think he is.
Yeah, but he's still like I don't know. She's like 18.
No, I think he's really young. Yeah, but I don't think he's any more than like 26.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, I'm looking at
it. Up. I just looked it up.
Yeah, he's 27. He's not. Yeah, he just seems really old.
9 years to an 18-year-old is a lot.
I guess, but like, how old's Gabby? Like, I feel like that's sort of the job here, isn't it?
Yeah, but she and Lex haven't done a sexy routine yet.
Oh, yes. I don't want to see that. But yeah, even, you know what? And I feel like I'm talking about Dancing with the Stars constantly in this episode. But that comes up all the time on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I remember Lindsay and what's his name?
Yeah. I mean, they're a terrible example. But like Val and Lori were able to do it. And Lori was like 16. And he's one of the oldest people. He's like 35. And they just sort of put their heads down and did it because they're professionals and they're fine. Like, you know, at a certain point, also, it's just like two adults. You would not necessarily, I mean, 18 is really young, but you wouldn't necessarily blink at a 27-year-old dating. Well, maybe not 18-year-old, but like a 21-year-old. So I don't think that's a good excuse. I think it comes up a lot on this show, the age difference thing. A lot of them are 18, because especially in late seasons, because they went through everyone who was going to audition for So You Think You Can Dance has already auditioned. So now they're just dealing with like kids who've been waiting to turn 18 so that they could audition for So You Think You Can Dance.
We have a couple of 19-year-olds because the kids season happened.
Yeah.
And they were like, dang it. Wait one more year.
Yeah, so it's like almost all really young people at this point. Like,
hey, maybe she doesn't want to cheat on Lex with her dancing.
That's an actual consideration, though. And I think this is one of the weird, I don't understand actors at all, because I just think it would be, and especially ones who work together, like at the Shaw Festival, there's nothing to do in Niagara on the Lake, so they all just marry each other. And so the result is that all the time you have people playing love interests while the person's real life partner is in the scene. And it's just like so weird. And I don't know how they do it. And I just feel like that'd be so incredibly hard, because not only is faking it hard in the first place, but like then both people in the pretend couple have to be thinking about, okay, I don't want to insult and or offend and or make jealous and or just in any way upset this other person who's standing right there. Like, yeah, I don't know.
In high school, I had a stage makeout with someone who was really ugly. And it really is just something that you just don't even, like, it's just such a totally different thing. But I don't know.
Theoretically, but I mean, and I'm Robert's gay. So like, you know,
do we know this for a fact?
When you Google his name, the first thing that comes up is Robert Roldan gay.
That doesn't make it true.
Well, I guess that's true.
I
don't know.
A lot of people.
I was just always pretty sure. I guess I'm not 100% sure, but I thought that was generally acknowledged. But that might not be true. I'm sorry, Robert, if it's not true or if it's not open information. But like that does throw a wrench in it, right? Because, you know, because then the other argument is, well, Robert's insanely beautiful. And so, like, if he's straight and you're Lex, there's no way to not be, you know, he's Robert. So that's very threatening. So it is a different thing. And this is what I'm always talking about with it's just choreography. You do what you're told and you just do it. On the other hand, I do think that having Lex there is sort of a weird thing, and it might be playing a part in some way in her resistance to being really intimate with Robert on stage. But it also could just be a total lack of chemistry, because there's nothing there with her.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I'm glad they finally got criticized. That it was really starting to worry me, all this, like, we're the, you know,
they're the couple to beat.
What was
come
it, Nigel?
On.
The couple to beat. Come yeah. On. No. Are you kidding me? The couple to beat is Marco and Koine, and they will be beaten by Mark and Comfort. That is like, come on.
I think that there are at the very least three, maybe four couples that are to beat before Taylor and Robert.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, I actually think that Taylor and Robert should go home next week.
Yeah. Yeah, I will totally second that. Yeah, because Jenna's working so hard with her angle of he's a partner and I'm a pretty princess.
Yeah, and I'll never get tired of watching Jenna dance. So Kiki can just honestly stand in the corner and let Jenna do a solo. And I'll be so happy.
That's a different show, but sure. Yeah, I just these guys are so dumb. I'm so glad that the show is finally starting to come back around to what we've known the whole time, which is that Team Robert is terrible. We've been saying it since Team Robert first got picked.
Oh, since Team Robert was drafted by default.
So basic. Like that's actually one of the reasons I sort of refused to believe that she was with Lex. It's like, what? I mean, she's very pretty,
yeah,
and her technique is good, but it's very easy to tell a star from a technician. And that girl is a tried and true technician.
Yes.
Who maybe, also her routines keep being floppy, which is unacceptable.
Yeah, exactly. I get that Samba is hard, but
no, what? She had a whole week. It's a 90-second dance. She's a professional dancer. Stop it.
Yeah.
No.
So Maddie Ziegler's here, and we're not going to dignify that with the response. So moving on, the All-Stars.
Oh, no, I have something to say about this. I didn't know who that was, okay. So it took me a minute to figure out what you were talking about.
You didn't watch Dance Moms?
No.
It takes place in my hometown, and my middle school principal was one of the dance moms, so I had to watch it.
Oh, was she on last year? Was that the whole thing here?
Maddie was a judge for the kids season because she was a child dancer who's in all of the Sia videos and goes on tour with Sia.
That makes so much more sense. I literally thought they were saying that she was a contestant last year, and I was looking at her being like, what was the age limit for the show?
She was a judge.
I was so confused. Okay, it has nothing to do with her. I don't know who that is. I'm sorry, everybody. I should know who that is.
Oh, she's a wonderful, wonderful dancer.
Is she? Okay. This is about Leap. Okay, this is so weird, I think, because I was watching this trailer and there's been a movie I've been meaning to see all year that's been out for months called Ballerina. And as everyone knows, I'm a ballet super fan. It's like really pathetic how much I'm a super fan of the National Ballet of Canada and ballet in general. And so I've been dying to see this like dumb looking animated movie called Ballerina for months. It's already out. And then Leap looked identical. Like it had, I was like, okay, is this one of those job situations where somebody greenlit at two different studios basically the same movie and they just released them without really caring? Same thing happened with Jungle Book recently.
Same thing happened with Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached.
Exactly. At first I thought it might be that, but they looked way too similar. And so I looked it up, and apparently this is I have no idea why they would do this. So Ballerina was released in theaters in France and the UK in December 2016, followed by releases in various countries over the next several months, including Canada in February 2017. This is why I knew it had already been in theaters and was like on available on demand and like is a movie that I missed and was meaning to catch. So now the film is going to be released in the United States on August 25th under the title Leap, with Nat Wolff replacing Dane DeHaan, and they added Kate McKinnon and Mel Brooks.
As one does.
But like, what? Like, they decided that they were going to release this movie that was already out basically in the entire rest of the world, and it's coming out tomorrow in the United States, and instead of like just letting it be the movie that it is and has already been advertised as such, and they've spent all this money on advertising, they're going to retitle it something a lot less, like something much more generic. Maybe that's so that they can get like little boys who won't see a movie about ballerinas or some dumb nonsense. But they've retitled it, so they've basically abandoned all of their marketing internationally. They've replaced the leading man with a also vaguely famous, but like Dane DeHaan's not any significantly less famous than Nat Wolff. And then they've added to like a contemporary comedy icon and a classic comedy icon, because what was missing from Ballerina was goofy side characters, I guess. Like, what? This is bizarre to me.
I really have no idea what you're talking about in all of this, because on Hulu, it just said, and we got a special sneak preview, and then it just went to commercial. So I did not even get to see the preview of this.
It's an animated film about a girl who becomes a ballerina.
Yes, I heard from Maddie Ziegler's beautiful description of it that we spent way too much time
on. It's pretty simple. But this is not about so you can think you can dance at all. But this just like it was like an alternate reality situation where like for the most part, there were not that many there are some huge philosophical differences between Canada and the States, but there are not that many practical differences. You guys export almost everything. So we can get like a lot of our culture is just your culture. And like you guys have Drake. So like, you know, it largely looks the same. Almost all of our movies are the same movies. So this was literally there was a movie that existed in Canada that is apparently that is already out and called one thing and has one set of stars. And they're releasing the exact same movie in the States, telling me it's not out yet, telling me it has a different title, and telling me it stars three people it didn't star before. I think they're just trying to make me crazy.
Yeah, they're just gaslighting you.
Yeah, they are. They're just like pretending my reality is not my reality. To go back to my favorite well, the dress is not blue and black. But it is. The manufacturer says it is.
I believe you.
Okay, we can move on now. I just needed that to be said. I was crazy.
So we already sort of talked about this Travis Wall piece, and I don't want to dwell on it too much because this podcast, we always go longer than the actual episode. This is like some piece that was like kind of about civil rights. I did not dig this.
Travis does this and it a little bit pisses me off.
Does this.
And I feel weird about the fact that it pisses me off, but it pisses me off. Feels manipulative or feels like he's taking advantage somehow, which I know is not the intention. I know he's not. He means no malice. But there's something about it, making a thing that specifically comments on some sort of recent tragedy that just it feels like cheap. He's like, we didn't need this. We didn't need to hear Travis Wall's opinion on Charlottesville.
Yeah.
And it just kind of annoyed me. And I find these sort of things trite. I find them melodramatic. I don't find them touching. And I wish I did. I really do. Cause I know that the intention is honorable, but it just feels like a Fox dance reality show is not where we need to have this conversation. And yeah, it's beautiful that Allison and Fiction are holding hands at the end. But one of the really cool things about this show is how often we get to see Allison and Fiction hold hands, not literally, with, you know, racially speaking, Kaylee and Cyrus hold hands, right? Like that's a thing that this show has been not even promoting, but like just fine with.
It just happens.
And it's been showing it, and it's been bringing that into middle America, South, like American South homes for over a decade, dating all the way back to Jamil on season one. Like, that's just a part of the show. It's something that we've never even had to talk about because it's just there. And I don't need a fancy dance other than Marco jumping over the whole crowd, which was really cool. I didn't need this. And I felt reductive.
Almost every pair. Is it possible that every single pair is? Do we have any two white people?
Allison Sydney and Logan. Paul.
I believe Logan Hernandez indicates.
Oh, yeah. Logan Hernandez.
I think that we don't even have two white people that are. Paul is Armenian, so I don't want to make a call on that. But you know, not to conjecture.
Whoa, I just like to point out that isn't Big Brother Paul also Armenian?
Yeah, he is.
Cool. That's not relevant of anything. I just every time you say Paul, that's who I think of, and then I'm just like, oh yeah, he is Armenian. Yeah.
But anyway, my point is that they don't need to make an effort. The show just is naturally very diverse. Exactly what you're saying, and that you know they do all this. They like to pat themselves on the back for like dance unites the world and all this stuff. But in its own way, they don't even need to acknowledge it that like it quietly does do this work. So
I like it best when it's not acknowledged. When Nigel said that thing about Stacey's Canadian and you're Japanese and Marco's from Guam, like that annoyed me because I knew Marco was from Guam and I knew Stacey was Canadian, which is also not interesting. She's just a random white chick. But like, you know, we know. And the point, the reason it's so powerful is that we didn't need you to you normalized it. Like,
yeah,
people in Alabama watched Twitch and Carrington do that bed routine and noticed how beautiful the routine was. And that was in season 4. And like, that's going to solve things. Pointing it out is not going to solve things. And this felt really annoying to me.
Yes.
But Marco leapt over the whole group and that was super cool.
Yes, it was. It was, you know, there were good parts, whatever. It's good dancing.
I also felt that we needed a commercial break here. I felt it was very strange to then go straight into Gabby and Lex doing their little their package. We needed a commercial break.
Yeah. So Gabby and Lex, they get some Broadway choreography by an actual Broadway choreographer, Warren Carlyle, and there's actual Broadway movement in this routine.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, was it the group? There was also, I think it was the group routine, the non-all-star group routine. Was that the other Broadway? Yes, that was the Broadway one. It was boring, but I wrote down, this is what actual Broadway dancing looks like.
Oh yeah, it was very boring. I don't even really have comments on that.
Yeah, it was boring, but it did, like, that's what actual Broadway dancing is. Where it's not miming. They're not telling a specific story, but they're dancing.
Yeah.
And so this episode had a lot of that, which was really nice to see.
Yeah, he choreographed the revival of Hello Dolly, which is interesting.
With Bette Midler,
who sings this song. But before we get to the routine, we need to acknowledge this absolute bomb that was dropped on us in the package, that Lex was in the tour of Billy Elliot.
Is that a bomb?
That, to me, is crazy. I mean, he didn't say that he was Billy Elliot. It's possible he was just, like, you know, one of my children. He might have been Michael, or he might have just been, I don't know. Are there male children in that?
I assumed, based on the way they were talking about it, that he was Billy Elliot, but I guess that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love Billy Elliot, so this means a lot to me.
I'm trying so hard to resist my temptation to talk about Tom Holland right now, because God, I love him, and he was one of the original Billy Elliots. Maybe not the original, but he was definitely in it. The kid who did it in Toronto, I want to say his name was Miles Ehrlich, was unbelievable.
They're all unreal.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think that's that big a deal to me. The tour is the tour, right? Like,
yeah, but you still have to, I don't know. I really love Billy Elliot. It's like one of my top 5 musicals of all time. So this meant
a
lot to me.
Yes. That's fascinating to me.
I saw it in London when I was in 8th grade.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot.
Yeah. I don't think there's a ton of standout songs, but the standout songs that there are quite beautiful.
Electricity. Anyway, let's talk about this routine.
Yeah. I don't know. So I just want to talk about Billy Elliot for one more second. I don't. The thing about Lex, we are starting to learn more and more about Lex, but one of the first things we knew about Lex going in that we've been grappling with all season is that he is a professional dancer.
Yeah.
We know this. Yes, he's only 18, but he's had a career. He's gone on tour with Travis's Thing for what seemed to me to be like a full season, like almost a year, which I don't know how that works with being 18, because you theoretically shouldn't be able to start until you turn 18, whatever. But like, he's had a career. So finding out that career started when he was a kid, that doesn't really change much for me. He was really being presented to us as a new discovery, someone just breaking out, that's fine. But because it specifically is the one guy we knew definitively had a career, whatever. I will say this was the part where they were like, what's the one thing you've never done? And he's like, river dancing. And now all I want is for the show to do river dancing, because I love river dance. I was like, when
have
I was
they
a
ever
kid,
done it? No,
oh my God, so. Lord of the Dance, actually more than river dance when I was a kid, was like a huge phase for me. I never actually did Highland dancing or like whatever it's called, but so cool. Love it so much. See river dance every time it comes to town. So good. Love it so much. I would love to see it. Even just like, it's not something you can have the people do on the show, but to have a troupe come in step style and do a river dance routine to acknowledge that it's one of the art forms that it's a major part of dancing that has never been represented on the show would be neat.
Yeah. the twins from The Bachelorette, Riverdance. That's what I know. Yeah.
It's like a big, is that a thing in the States? It's certainly a big thing here.
It is if, Celtic you're, dancing, that's what it's if you're of Irish heritage. I just don't know any people that are really just because of where I grew up. So it wasn't something that was big where I'm from, but I'm sure if I grew up with, you know, Irish Catholic people, then it would be.
Oh, so I grew up around a lot of Irish Catholic people. So yeah. I know a lot of people who Celtic dance and Highland dance and that kind of thing.
But I think it is a thing in the States. I just can't speak to it because of my community. But anyway, Lex and Gabby do this routine. It's a little messy. I wouldn't have given it a standing O, but the A plus for difficulty and for stamina. They never look tired.
Messy. Very messy. Standing ovations mean nothing. These people stand for anything. and they also stand for Lex sort of, I don't know, by instinct.
Yeah.
Love this song, though. I will say, I'm pretty sure this song is about suicide. So that's dark. Yeah, or murder. Either she kills someone or she kills herself. And that's why she's not available for lunch.
Oh, so, I see. Yeah.
It's a dark song. That said, I love it. It's on Bette Midler's Experience the Divine CD. And I just, God, that woman is amazing. I love her so much. That's all. I don't like these people. Gabby was fine on her season. I didn't love her. I didn't mind her. I didn't mind that she won at all, but she never connected to me. And Lex, same thing, but worse. Like I get nothing from these people. And so when they're anything other than technically magnificent, I get really annoyed because their technique is the one thing to me that they really have, because I don't get much from their personalities.
I'm still in on Lex because, and this is the reason I love American Ninja Warrior so much, is that just watching the human body do incredible things is endlessly fascinating and entertaining to me.
This is true. My one note on his solo is that gravity does not apply to him. Like, his solo is really great.
I love to watch him just challenge the limits of physics and the human body.
Yeah. I agree with that. That's very impressive. I would watch his solos. There seems to be a pretty big divide generally about, like, people who I would watch their solo forever and people who I actually want to see dance ever again. Yeah. Other than their solo, like Logan and Lex, I think do the best solos by miles, and I don't care that much about either of them.
Logan like
more than
them
Lex,
both.
But still.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Not just because they're on my team. But sort of.
You're just clinging to them.
Yes. So results time. And I managed to not get spoiled for this one, even though I was 2 days late watching the episode. So that was exciting.
Why is Mark in the bottom three? I'm just now remembering because I'm looking at my notes. Why was Mark in the bottom three?
And the judges are just like, nope, goodbye. Go be with Comfort. This is ridiculous. They send him back immediately.
We talked about the fact that it's weird that Dassey's in the bottom three, but like Mark?
Yeah.
That's actually crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what's going on with America here, but at least the right person went home. Yes, the bottom three were Mark, Sydney, and Dassey. Of course, Sydney goes home. This is when Nigel reveals that he voted for her to go home last week. And she looks extremely upset.
She did.
She's not able to even fake like gratefulness or anything like that, which is totally understandable. It's not a knock on her. You just don't often see people look this visibly devastated.
Yeah, it was interesting. Kat's mic was on during the video package here, and you could hear her sort of mumbling and giving instructions, and it was sort of interesting. All I caught was something along the lines of how great he is, was the quote. And so I think she was, my guess, which of course is just a guess because I couldn't hear everything. My guess was that she was talking to Sydney, noticing how catatonic she is, because Kat's amazing at this. I don't know if you remember, but the Twitch was in the bottom three one time before the finale of season four, and he freaked out and he like ran to the edge of the stage like he was gonna jump off. It was a dramatic reaction.
Yeah.
And Kat, who's just a superhero of a host, went and she got him and she put her arm around him and she pulled him back and she really, and like she just fixed it in that way, like in a crisis where very few hosts can handle a crisis like that. So I felt like it was a little bit of that moment where she was trying to coach Sydney on like, okay, we're going to come back from the video package. I'm going to say something. I'm just going to ask you a question. You're going to talk about how great Paul is and how he's been a wonderful partner. And that's that. And then at the end of the video package, she didn't ask Sydney a single question. She just went straight to Paul so he could say how great Sydney was. Because I think that she was trying to give her notes and then reached the conclusion that, no, I can't ask her a question. I'm going to have to turn to Paul. Yeah. And Paul had to do it, which, you know, he did because he's the best.
Yes.
But I was sad that we didn't get at least a little moment of like Sydney thanking Paul for picking her and being supportive and all that stuff, because he was a great partner.
Yeah. But fortunately, the draft teams are evened out, which is the most important thing. So,
as much as this prevented a full pagonging, these guys were the last ones off the board.
Absolutely.
You had the first pick. Mm-hmm. So these were my default team. I love them, but they were my default team. Yeah. So, like, other than I do still have Robert and Taylor, which, like, honestly, whatever.
But yeah.
And Mark was in the bottom three. I don't know, man. What if these people that we all love so much on my team get eliminated? And then what if, like, Jenna and Kiki win? What if Dassie and Fiction win? I'm not worried. Like, it doesn't bother me, the idea of, like, Lita beating me in the draft. I'm, like, genuinely worried about anyone from Team Step Up beating any of my people.
Yeah.
I love my people so much.
I know, but I think that I am totally satisfied with the Logan and Allison win. You know what? A Kiki and Jenna win would be iconic. That would just be incredible, that Jenna would just be smartest dancer to ever go through with this. Like, she pulls out a win despite having a doorknob for a partner.
And then Dancing with the Stars would put her back in the troupe.
Yes.
That's exactly. She's just not right for that show. Just, like, be in a different show.
I would just watch, like, I feel like Jenna has probably some, like, interesting drama in her personal life. Like, I would watch a reality show that was about Jenna.
Oh, I mean, she's also, like, an at-home with the Schmurkowskis reality show. It's shocking to me it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Like, Max and PETA and Val and Jenna. Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing, like, that trip to IKEA.
Oh, God. That'd be the worst. I would never want to spend any time with any of those people ever, even though I love Val. But, like, no, thank you.
All right. So that is our way. We always say that these are supersized episodes. At this point, we're just going to have to say that this is just the length that these episodes are now. And everybody is just going to have to be OK with that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Who we are. And these are 2-hour episodes. So
there's a lot of material.
And we have to talk about tangents this week. Zach Woods. Oh, and there was, like, a very long giggle fit in the middle where I just, like, couldn't speak words.
Yeah.
That happened. And then I also repeat myself a lot. Yeah, it's a whole...
You guys know the drill.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Fine.
So, to cap this off, Kelly, where can we find you on social media? Anything you want to promote to our listeners?
Social media, Twitter and Instagram are both at my end world, my ENT world. They are company accounts, but they're usually me tweeting. I do weekly Big Brother rankings. I've been doing a bit more live tweeting with reality shows. Mostly it's we tweet out articles, occasionally some other stuff, but mostly it's just reality show stuff. Big Brother, Bachelor in Paradise, So You Think You Can Dance, obviously. You can definitely tweet at me there. I'm big in the comment section, so if you comment on the Rob's website page for this podcast, I will absolutely reply to basically everything unless you're mean, which nobody ever is, because our listeners are the best people ever. And then all my work you can find on myentertainmentworld.ca.com is different. .ca. We have a very special piece written by one Lita Brillman that one can find up there. It's all about Jerry Manthe. It's amazing. So that's my website that I run that has TV, film, books, games, music, sports, I don't know, all sorts of stuff like that. That's about it.
And sure, that piece is my pinned tweet. So you should check that out. Thank you. You can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. I was on a couple of Big Brother updates this week. The most recent one I did yesterday, Brent Walgamott and I did a Zing Off where we decided to outdo Zingbot, because Zingbot is not really very funny, and do our own zings of the Big Brother house guests. So you can check that out if you subscribe to if you subscribe to the reality TV wrap-ups feed, then you can get that. You can get American Ninja Warrior, which the newest episode just came out today, talking about the train wreck of what was the Kansas City finals, which was a bit of a disaster of an episode, and we hope that we made some sense of it. So you can find that on the wrap-ups feed. You can also find The Challenge and Bachelor in Paradise and all those great shows, and you can leave a review for that feed, and you can mention us in that review in iTunes.
And yeah, do that.
Yeah, we'll appreciate you forever. So do that and leave us comments, interact with us. We love to talk all things So You Think You Can Dance, and our listeners have all of this esoteric information that we don't know what their sources are, but it's really helpful.
Really good Instagram stalkers.
Yes.
Like, you know so much information.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed. Somebody brought up another couple that was... Who was the other couple they were talking about? Oh, Philip Shabib and Mackenzie from season 10. Oh, I don't know who Mackenzie is.
No, I'm not sure I remember her. Season 10, is that what it was?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for Philip Shabib and anybody because he's delightful.
Yes, we are very happy for Philip and Mackenzie Dustman, who... Oh, sure, I remember her face. I don't remember anything that she did. But she apparently danced with Paul, according to this Wikipedia page, with Paul.
Mackenzie and Paul. That sounds right. Sure.
Yeah. So happy for these two. She was born in the same year as me. Wow, that bums me out. Anyway, that...
Oh, yeah. No, she was super Taylor-ish, though. Like, really, like, basic.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So that is our episode. Thank you so much for joining us. And follow us on all those places. Interact with us. We love you. And we will see you next time.
Bye, everybody. So You Think You Can...